To the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I listen because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Blackout Test podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host.
Here.
And we're ready on a Saturday to do some feedback. You might be thinking, y'all didn't do any episodes this week. Well, we did the feedback episode a week ago, and we still got a lot of feedback off of just that one episode.
Apparently, y'all had a lot to say.
People sent mad emails, and we got two voicemails.
What was we talking about? It was that
five-star review. So we just figured rather than come back and try to do
a 4-hour feedback show.
Yeah, we were just like, let's just knock this one out. Hopefully, right. It'll be short in this format, and then that way we don't have a 4-hour show next week.
Right.
So you know how we do. We're going to talk about your comments that you left on our website, your votes in the polls, whether on our website or on Spotify. We're going to talk about your voicemails, your emails, your 5-star reviews, all of that stuff. We love it, we appreciate it,
we
and we
want
to take the time out to give y'all our thoughts on it, you know. And of course, this is also the time where we shout out the people that gave us money, that went to the blackouttips.com, looked on the right hand side and decided, hey, let me put something on it, whether one time or recurring, we don't care, we're gonna give you your shout out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
May I have your attention? You are now listening to Charlottesville, Rod and Karen. We welcome the good folks of Tide to the Black Guy Who Tips.
Oh yeah, new day, new pay, and I know y'all, you know what I'm saying, y'all got it. It's July 4th weekend, alright? Mariano, recurring donator. Calvin N, recurring donator. Monica T, thank you very much. We got a one-time donation from Earl or Early D. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jason F. Tyrone M. Waste Bees by Sura. Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Sarah B. Thank you very much. Jasmine A. Stefan H. Allison H. Jonathan W. Michael F. Mary H, Deborah O, Jeff M, Corey B, Brian B, Jonathan H, J Full, you what's up J Full, Mako H, Marvin B, yes, Marvin B, Nicole F, Early Daisy Photography, Michael W, Solana S, and Asia D, and lastly, Chriselle. Thank you everybody, woo! A lot of people. Y'all see what we had to do this today? Play me out. Who's getting funky? I see some of y'all still ain't gave. I need y'all to go ahead and hit up the PayPal right now, okay? Whether two or more gathered, okay? Some of y'all, you got a guilty conscience. You've been living in sin, not leaving us 5-star reviews or comments.
But tell us how much you love us.
But it's never too late to comment with that money.
Never too late.
We have 5-star reviews. That's always funny when the preacher be like, I'm about to hit that extra. You be like, I done gave my 10%. And they be like, I'm coming for Mo this week.
You're like, that's it. That's all I got.
You're like, they playing. Why them song going so long? All right. We got some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Hey,
we love to see it.
Yeah, we do.
The first one is from the 25th, which, oh, the 24th, which our last show we did was on the 25th, but I think this didn't come in until after.
Right. Sometimes it's a delay. Yes.
Fantastic. I love your podcast. This is from Janissa J. Thank you for creating amazing content. I just started listening to y'all at work, and it's been great company for me while gardening.
Come on, gardening. So we out there getting that vitamin D with us. Go ahead, sunshine.
And we're also hopefully helping the plants grow faster.
Yes,
they're
talk
probably
to
happy,
them.
You know, they're like, oh my God, I also love to guess the race.
And I also hate racism.
A lot of people don't know plants are racist. They actually love racism. It makes them grow faster. Why y'all think cotton grew so fast?
Why you think the cornfields grow so fast?
All this time y'all just thought white people had us picking cotton because they love slavery. No, the cotton grow faster when there's black people picking it. It's the oppression for me. That's what it say.
Oh no!
On the cotton shirt. You look at the tag and say, like, it's the oppression for me.
When you flip it over.
But yeah, back to this. Keep up the good work and have an amazing rest of the year.
Thank you.
We got this from SD Star, who says, "Bet the best podcast. Rod and Karen may sing that they ain't got it, but I disagree. They do got it, and they get 5 stars from me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Rains with a Z. I think I got my hair cut that one. Says simply the best. I will always give my two favorite podcast hosts 5 stars.
Yes, I will allow y'all niggas to continue to do your podcast.
I've been listening since 2016. They were the first black podcast I listened to after listening to white podcasts for years. It was a breath of fresh air. Now every time they go on vacation, I miss them like they're my best friends, but they deserve the breaks. They put out so much content, free and paid content, but get that paid content. They need the breaks. But one thing I do know is, since I will be likely moving to NC in about 2 years, I will be going to your live show if you ever have one when I'm in the state, and if the pandemonium ever ends. Yeah, we were literally talking about this yesterday.
Yes, it was a back and forth intense conversation, because I'm like, what's happening here?
Yeah, it was.
Damn you, pandemic.
Yeah, it was one of those things where everyone's taking calculated risk and stuff, but it's very ironic that we had that conversation yesterday, and then the stuff within your family happened like the today or whatever, where it's like, yo, the coronavirus still out here. I don't feel comfortable making like plans to be in big groups of people with no mask. I'm making my calculated risk. You know, I just started going back to the gym, and even with that, I'm going on off hours. I'm going when I'm not around people, or if I play basketball, which I do plan to do at some point by the end of the year. I'm planning on playing it with this hardcore group of dudes that's about 10, 15 of us. And no one's gotten, you know, spread COVID in the 2 years that they've continued to play ball without me. And I might play with them every once in a while, but I definitely don't know about a room full of people right now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's very frustrating, and it's very irritating, because it's like, it's a rule as simple as wear a mask would actually cut down on everything and change. And a lot of people just catching it now. Most people are catching it because people are like, fuck a mask. And you're like, okay, that's the problem. Like, we could still have events. And it's, you know, it's one of the reasons why we felt comfortable having it before. And, you know, if those rules were still in place, I would really be an advocate and push, why not have it again? Like, you know, most of our fans are not going to come because of the coronavirus. They're going to stream. But it's still one of those things where people come, we want you to be safe.
Yeah, so I'm all about creating a safe environment. And last year the rules really allowed us to, like, hey, social distance, everybody wear a mask. And it seemed like people are over that shit, even the good people. This is not a value judgment of people, but I think people are over it, you know. And I think a lot of people are missing the signs of how bad this pandemic can be, because like, and not just the pandemic, just America in general right now, the world. You got 500 flight cancellations just this weekend, you know.
Yeah,
like,
so a lot of people
today
ain't gonna see their family for the 4th, or they're gonna be stranded somewhere for the 4th.
So you got like we ain't got it. That's all. We ain't got it. So I don't know. Well, I'm not saying I'm writing off the idea completely, but I'd like a little bit more stability and a little bit more like people acting like we got some sense before I feel comfortable being like, yeah, we're gonna do it. But we go, I do think we'll have a live show eventually, you know, hopefully within a year or two. So but also the last one, I got married to leave a review. This is from Leader 87. I'm using my new husband's phone to leave a review.
Oh, new love, new hubby. Oh, sweet.
And you got the password to his phone. That's good. You know, like, go ahead and go through all his pictures, check his text, you know, let's get, complete the set, girl. Okay. or sir, I don't know. I used my son's phone in the past to leave a review. You guys are the best. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's get to your comments on episode 2554, The Greatness of America, the only episode we did. Appiah says, you are internationally listened podcast now, you two, so when you ask if people got Juneteenth off, don't forget the non-Americanness, non-Americans mess up your science. I mean, not for me, I feel like for the I guess so, because I could see them being like, they would put no just so they could fill out the poll rather than, in my mind, I would think if I wasn't from America, I wouldn't have filled it out. So you're right. All right. Next time I put a, you know, I'm not American.
Right. That, yeah, right. And that would be an option too.
Appiah says, also the mortality rate for COVID went down a lot. So that's good. I heard on Science Podcast, it changed from about 4% to way under 1%. Explanation, vaccinated people have way milder infections. We have the antibodies now to treat people and know more overall about COVID. Yeah, and these variants, knock on wood, but the variants that came along lately and usurped the other variants have been less deadly or less infectious, as far as not infectious, less tied to death and less tied to serious illness.
Right.
So that is good. You know, these aren't bad things. Like, I talked to my doctor about playing ball again, which is the only reason I even thinking about playing basketball. And she was like, yeah, looking at the numbers locally, looking at the numbers in general, looking at the people in the hospital, looking at the severe illness, the lack of people getting severely ill. She's like, you're vaccinated, you're boosted. I feel comfortable with you playing basketball. And I was like, good, because that's my favorite exercise and one of the few that I really can do consistently. So but if she wouldn't have said that shit, guess what, I'd still be in the house, you know what I mean? And it's still taking it slow because I'm only gonna be playing a couple times a week at 5 a.m. and shit, but it's better than nothing.
Agreed. And like I said before, that's what some of my frustration comes in, because it's like it didn't have to be like this.
Let's see. Ramsey D. Jenkins says, Chick-fil-A hit the jackpot with their peach shake. You will not enjoy this deliciousness if you don't like fruit in your milkshakes.
I can see that.
Yeah, I'm not a fruit in the milkshake guy, so probably not for me.
Okay, I like strawberry milkshakes.
Yeah, strawberry. Yeah, strawberry is good. That might be the only one I can do.
Ah, okay.
Georgia says, hey, Rod and Karen. Georgia May. Thank you both for continuing to discuss the importance of voting. I love it, and it always makes me think of the nuances that I hadn't considered. Recently, I was thinking how different would gerrymandering and voter access look in this country had the U.S. paid Black Americans reparations instead of giving over resources to bitter, treasonous Confederates. Yeah. And why does it never occur to, the thing I kept thinking, because I read this comment and I was thinking to myself, you know what was crazy? What's crazy? If after the Civil War, they had actually gone through and given everybody their 40 acres of mule, whatever, the splintering of the Black community would have, I think you would end up with a even less united Blackness in America, because people would have got their money, some of them, and they would be like, yeah, how do I ascend to whiteness? like that's the whole aspirational goal, is to be considered white in this country, or to be treated as white.
Because I got this money, but that oppression is still here.
Like, if we think like people like Ice Cube and some of these celebrities that are on some like fuck the Democrats, it would be way worse if we had gotten the money, because there's some people just can't wait to get an opportunity to get out of blackness, even if it's not something that's feasible.
Right.
And why does it never occur to the voting is useless crowd to use their time to rally for equitable voting instead of insisting on giving up one of the most fundamental democratic and economical tools that we have? They could be pointing to the undue burden and drain on resources it takes the disenfranchised to vote in red/purple districts to make the case for reparations. I know voting accessibility for everyone here in the South would look a lot different if a major part of our populace was not deprived from land to capital. Anyways, just a random thought, and love you both. And why does it seem to quiet down around election time? A change.org petition to a running candidate from registered voters seems far more motivational than one to a sitting senator who has expressed she does not care. But maybe right. I'm also missing things in my bubble. Yeah, I know my girl Coakley, if she's listening, she hates when I say this. But I don't believe the call your senator thing. Mm-mm. Call your governor, call it. And I don't mean that in the don't do it. I mean in the, if they campaign ran or felt the opposite, I haven't seen this thing where it's like, you know, Mitch McConnell's a staunch Republican, but enough people called him and he said, you know what, I'll change my mind.
No, they don't change their minds.
Yeah. So I don't know. And once you have Trump, the cruelty is the point. So I don't even know that this new crop of they might even take it as validation, like, yes, I am causing you pain,
and double down.
Anyways, let me log off this damn machine. The information coming out of this hearing is making me gag all over again. Child. The poll: can you dance well, yes or no?
I could do an old woman dance, like I'm not doing no new kid shit.
No, it's gotta be like Megan Thee Stallion's twerk video.
If that's the case, no, my knees ain't built like that, nor my back.
No, nah, I think you count. 37% say yes, 63% say no. I can't dance. And at the poll on Spotify, 37% say yes, 63% say no. It's the exact same percentage. Holy shit, what? And the Q&A, we taking a week off. Talk to us nice. Talk to us nice. Speaking of which, I figured out how to turn the comments off on my Facebook page.
Changed your life, didn't it?
Talk to me nice. Okay. We not playing no more. It's a different game. I've been around the world too long and didn't know this was a possibility. I just been letting y'all say anything. Freedom of speech is over for you niggas.
On my page, because I don't go on yours.
Y'all gonna start talking the way I wants to hear it. Or not at all. But people did leave comments and they were all nice. Aww. Y'all deserve, enjoy your time. That's what premium's for, said Harris. Aaron says, so glad to hear it. Enjoy the time off, may you be rejuvenated and refreshed. Roger says, yes, I hope you both rest and enjoy. Lee says, who approved this PTO?
Apparently not them.
Cadian says, enjoy, we love y'all. Jeff says, Jeff in Japan here, enjoy the week off, love and thank you. Miss Barnes says, have fun and drink your digits. M. Nicole says, enjoy your week. Chrissy says, I miss y'all already and it's only Sunday.
Oh.
Renee Leslie says, I'll miss you all. I'm stuck in quarantine because the Rona got me. No.
I know.
Lisa.
I hope you get free soon.
Dre says, enjoy the time off, it's well deserved. Nelson says, I dance well once my buddy Jack D has ended the party. Loosen you right on up, won't it? That and that Crown Royal. You'd be like, oh wait, maybe I can dance. Get down. But it's still,
you won't matter what you look like. Yeah,
it's just alcohol. Dayon says, I'm convinced tall people can't dance for shit. We just be out here looking awkward as fuck. A tall nigga that can dance is impressive as a short nigga that can dunk. Facts. Langston says, just wanted to keep give an update on the peach milkshake. It wasn't that good. Thank you for being honest, Langston. lot of these people will be just saying anything.
So we got a yay and a nay.
Marvin says, please enjoy your time off. Y'all work so hard for us. So go do something good for yourselves. Thank you. We work hard for the money. Mm-hmm. And next, let's get to the voicemails. We got a couple voicemails at 704-557-0186. Let's hear them.
What's good, Rod and Karen? This is a faithful fan and true believer of the voices of Rod and Karen for the people. I just wanted to come through and leave a voicemail to thank you all for all you do. Thank you all so much for making this world feel less crazy. And, yeah, I love you all so much, and I'm so grateful for you. Stay black, stay beautiful, and keep, you know, speaking truth to power. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, sweetie. Nice. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
We got another voicemail, last one for the week. Came in yesterday.
Hey,
for who?
This one's low.
I can't even hear him.
Rod, two episodes this week, you said something really interesting.
How do I turn the volume up? I can barely hear him. All right, maybe just be very quiet, okay? We'll see if we can hear him. I'll try to repeat it back if I can make it out. But I hear them saying something about, I said something very interesting.
And he said, you know, you appreciate Drake on his box and not being his regular rapper. And, yeah, the Dash album, I appreciate it too. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it too. I love Drake. I don't know Drake's fan. But that album was absolutely garbage. Even if you put it in a category, the dance category or the house music category, that album was just I mean, people are still streaming because it's Drake. Yeah, it's a Drake brand, the OVO brand. He's gonna bring people. He's gonna bring streams. But that album was just that's all I gotta say, my guy. Stop promoting Drake's album. But I love you. I love you guys. All the same.
Okay, so that person I think didn't like Drake's album.
Yes.
And they thought that I said it was good and that they want me to stop. I think it was more of a joke, but yeah, I don't know. I told y'all what I do with the music, and I haven't stopped listening. I just throw it on in the background when I'm doing other shit. I'm not a dance guy. I'm not or whatever. Yeah, it's fine. I throw it on when I'm reading or some shit like that, and it's great background music. Whether he intended for it to be that's on him. But yeah, I fuck with it. And I don't recall saying it was like good or great or anything, but I just think that a lot of the negativity of media at this point is just that cycle that he talked about, which is some shit comes out, everybody hates on it because they think that's the cool thing, they think they could pile on, and then weeks go by and you see like the charts and shit, and it's like, oh, obviously people are listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, when's the last time people didn't say a Drake album was whack?
It's been years.
I mean, they said the one he put out, the double album, was whack. They said the one before that was whack. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's been about 10, 12 years.
I don't know. This nigga's been running the game for like fucking 15 years. Mm-hmm. And at the same time being whack the whole time and nobody likes him. It doesn't make sense. And it seems like people only claim to like his music in hindsight. Like, oh, I hate this album. It's whack. This ain't what I want. And then, you know, 2 years later, like, that album was good, but this new one is whack. It's whatever. But listen, what you eat and what I eat don't make each other shit, so totally understand if you don't like the album. Tied it to your opinion. Emails. Angela says, hey y'all, hope you had a fabulous vacation and had opportunity to really rest. Cue up the Karen B. Noah music, please. I'm late commenting due to a moving house and a couple of other milestone events happening in the span of weeks. Regarding Lizzo, I first saw this issue on Twitter when a white British woman castigated her for using spaz in her song. She had a snarky holier than thou, you obey me, I'm the one with the power tone in her tweet. She ended her tweet with, do better. Yeah, and I think it's hard. This is the, and I think what, well, I don't know. For people who understand what we were trying to say on the show, I think it's very easy. Like, I don't want to say it's hard. I think most of y'all understand exactly what Karen and I are coming from, where we applaud Lizzo in that if this is something that moves you to want to, like, this is new knowledge I have and I would like to implement that in my language, I think that's really dope.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great behavior to model. I think people should think about those things. The thing where you bring up how the tweet was worded and stuff, that's where the icky feeling comes in for me.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's very much like, see, this is not that, this is not some like, hey, I just want to like let you know. This is some, I want to use this as a way to dunk on you and control what you do, and I can disguise my negativity into activism. Like, I'm talking nasty to you. Because when you meet people that work in those spaces, for real, work in those spaces to try to spread awareness, they're not going to come at you like this.
Mm-mm, because people don't respond well to that.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't come at somebody this way. You'd be like, okay, how's a... it's the McDonald's video. It's... Mm-hmm. Why are you filming the dude and putting him on blast and saying this is not a constructive way to solve a conflict in the first place? You're immediately starting on 10, and of course the person gets defensive, and then everyone goes, that person ain't shit, they got defensive, and forget the way that it was approached. Almost nobody in that situation is gonna completely be like, oh, that's, yeah, yeah, so I see what you're saying.
Tone matters. And what irritates me the most about a lot of the people who write comments like that, tone only goes one way for them. Because if you say anything to them, they're like, oh my right. gosh, don't you dare talk to me, how dare you tone police me. Mm-hmm. like you don't want to be tone police, but when you, your tone, you can fuck about how you sound, how people interpret it, how it's written, you talk to people greasy, nasty, sideways, and everybody else just supposed to deal, but I'm supposed to treat you with kid gloves, kiss my ass.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and it's kind of I agree with it. It's just that the way you said it like they get to talk to people any way they want, but don't tone police. That's the thing. They're saying the same thing. They're going, tone policing means I can talk to you however I want.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea of decorum, the idea of honestly efficient communication is what it's really about.
Mm-hmm.
They mock that because they want to be shitty towards people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they don't want to have a communication that works. I talked about this before on the show, where there's been things I say that I believe that I, you know, and that I've said in the past, and I do believe these things still to this day. But I know that I didn't say it in a constructive way, and it ended up causing me more grief than if I would have taken a second to word it better or be a little more thoughtful with and honestly, there's a value to that.
Because
I don't like the headache of having to re-explain myself 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anyway, it's that part where you're like, yeah man, that's the way you came at this person's neck and assume the worst of them,
right?
And then like, and it's all couched in this like, because I'm tired. It's like, well, everyone's tired, everyone got some type of struggle.
Yes they do.
We not gonna make it happen by just jumping down people's throats. I try to be a good person, but I swear my knee-jerk reaction, despite understanding the word is hurtful, was fuck you. Who do you think you are talking to that way? This woman had a real Miss Millie 12 Years a Slave beat her harder attitude. Then others piled on saying that Lizzo should do an offensive word check worldwide for all of her songs before publishing them, and they were shocked and very disappointed that she didn't. The caucasity and narcissism of these folks is alarming. Others tried to point out that Lizzo wasn't evil and that she just didn't know. Well, she should have known. It's a slur in England she performs here, as if performing or working in England for a few days out of the year would automatically mean that Lizzo would and should know all the English slurs.
Right.
Another person living with a disability said that perhaps black disabled women could lead the convo, since white women often talk out the side of their mouths at black women. You know how well that went down. Yeah, ain't nobody trying to share no power over there.
Right.
Period. Like, once you get online, it's like somebody got to be at the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I had to really check my attitude. I like Lizzo well enough. I'm not a mega fan or anything, but I felt some kind of way about these folks coming at her so hard with disrespect, self-righteousness, entitlement, and not one iota of self-awareness.
Mm-mm.
They wanted, rather demanded, that Lizzo respect them while doggedly insisting or assuming Lizzo had the worst intentions towards them despite her background and track record. I'm so tired of white women and white folks in general blowing their trauma through black people, especially while simultaneously ignoring the trauma they cause individually and as a society. It seemed like these Twitter users were very comfortable screeching at Lizzo online. I wonder how much smoke they have for Boris Johnson, Parliament, and real people in their daily lives who mistreat them due to their disability. I could see them spouting off at a Chappelle 2016 non-voters or Trump voters or someone who behaves like them. The fact that they thought it was okay to talk to her that way smacks of racism. Thank you for the awesome shows and thoughtful and passionate discussions. Love you guys, Angela.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, things where, like I said, it is a catch 22.
Yeah.
Because once you do this, now there's nothing you can do right. Because the bar will consistently and constantly move. And every time it moves, that's what they want you to do. When they yell or holler, they want you to jump. This is why a large percentage of people just ignore the fuck out of them. They just ignore them because they only have as much power as you give them. She could have changed it on her own accord and not said anything publicly, and people would have been just fine. There would have been people that would have pointed it out regardless, but it would not have gotten to the point where it is now.
Yeah, the acknowledgement is what a lot of people are after at this point.
Correct, because like I said, if she could have just changed the words, re-released it, redone, and people would have been like, oh, a new version came out, because, you know, people would have seen it got missing and came back. But it's one of those things, once you acknowledge, like, these type of people, who a lot of times are not coming from a sincere place, it's not that these problems aren't real, not that these problems don't exist. You're not really wanting to have a real conversation. That's a problem.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying it is racist. I'm just saying, like, there's people are bringing all kinds of shit into this discussion before it even starts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you never really know is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if she were to come from her place as a black woman and say, I don't appreciate you demanding what I do as a black woman, there would be people that would side with her, and there'd be people that would be like, how dare you do this, you know? And so it's just a big mishmash.
Yeah. And everything is a choice. Like, that person chose to talk to her crazy. Lizzo chose to change, you know, and she can choose, you know, not to do it again or to do it again. It's all choices, and regardless of what choice people make, particularly if you're a public figure, somebody somewhere ain't gonna like it. Shit, normal ass people, the decision that you make in your normal ass life, you always have somebody that don't like it.
Juneteenth discussion. This is from Brownie Points, who says, hello, Karen and Rod. I apologize in advance for the long email. I've noticed a lot of black stereotypes have roots in envy, black features and talents, and suppression of prosperity, watermelons, and fried chicken. I put excerpts from linked articles edited for brevity explaining the origins of watermelon and chicken stereotypes, of course, is racism. The watermelon originated in Africa, was brought to North America on slave ships and to Europe by the Moors. After emancipation, growing and selling watermelons was a popular business for free black people. The fruit developed into a symbol of independence and freedom. This provoked a backlash among white Americans, who then made the fruit a symbol of African Americans' supposed uncleanliness, childishness, idleness, and unfitness for the public square. The trope spread in U.S. print culture throughout the 1860s and supported the supposed emancipation argument that African Americans were unsuited for citizenship. I think we've talked about this before on the show, I think we know that.
Right, was there more to the letter?
Yeah, it's more.
Okay, go ahead, fine, make my comment.
Basically, they talk about fried chicken and how that was a means for black people to make money and have an independent economy, and then, basically the same thing.
Okay, and it's something, what you're saying is something that we are not oblivious to. You're not telling.
Yeah, I don't think their goal was to be like, y'all don't know this. They're agreeing with us.
Okay.
This but, isn't like they're checking us. They're just saying, did y'all know this part about the fried chicken and the watermelon?
It's a lot of that stuff does stem from slavery. You know, anything that black people ate or consume, even when it comes to spices, a lot of white people's, they're talking about spices and how, we joke about a lot of white people's food is, flavorless and bland. A lot of that is due to racism, because when they bought them spices over, you know what they associate with them spices? Black and brown people and them others. So they say, what we're not going to do is season our food. And it just went from generation to generation. For me, it's one of those things where even though all these things are true, as far as I'm concerned, I should not be ashamed of it. Why am I as a black person ashamed of food that was of my culture? You know, it's black people all around the world that are very proud from different, you know, nationalities, black and brown people that are very proud of their food. And, you know, depending on where their food comes from, a lot of their food stems from slavery and shit too, you know. But when it comes to African Americans, all of a sudden we got to be ashamed. We can't eat watermelon in front of people. We can't eat chicken in front of people and all this. I was like, why? You know, question yourself why. And people have died and these were foods that our ancestors was raised off of, hog maw and pig feed and things like that. A lot of the slow braised food that we eat now, look, the price of it is going up because now white people are taking some of the stuff that we use as fucking leftovers to survive and selling them in 5-star restaurants and charge you 400 times the rate, you know, because now that's the thing to do. And so, you know, I refuse to be ashamed. I refuse to allow white people to dictate what I eat and how I eat. I refuse to. And also, it's one of those things, too, is we have such a diverse populace that when we do have these days and they introducing fried chicken and all this stuff, you do have people. This is the first time that they're introduced to the food. You know, just like for me, I would have never known certain foods and certain cultures unless they had like the days at the job, or maybe the days at the school, or maybe go to the restaurant. Like, people are introduced to these foods through people pushing it, going, hey, this is Jamaican food, this is blah blah food, this is blah blah food. And it's one of those things where, why can't our food be in the mix of these diversity of foods? You know, like I said before, I really do think it's a lot of us and our insecurities and how we feel about slavery and all this stuff that make, which is valid, that make us jump and make us angry and upset and flicker every time anybody wants to bring anything up about our food.
For everyone that talks about black prosperity, this is only two of many ways we as a people use to our resources and talents to build back black wealth, to build black wealth. But racism and ignorance made us ashamed of its origins. Mm-hmm. Eat your traditional African-American food to celebrate your ancestors that made your freedom possible by voting in every election. Love y'all for real, my sweet babies. Brownie points. Thank you.
Right.
And my sweet baby. Well, I appreciate you.
One of the things, but I completely agree with you. It's just very frustrating, you know, with the Juneteenth ice cream and things like that. I just think it just struck a chord, because at the end of the day, it don't matter. I mean, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I know people feel a certain way about the ice cream, but at the end of the day, Juneteenth is a new celebration. And I know capitalism, right, but okay, well, if it's an American holiday, I'm sorry, that's consumerism is gonna be part of it. Regardless of how you feel about it or not, consumerism is going to be a part of the holiday.
We got a gift from Preston, who says, Rod and Karen, thank you for your wonderful appearance on Slaying of Ages podcast. Enjoy your gift. Cheers from Preston. And it's, we need to go check our mailbox. We got something called Body Restore Calm Bedtime Shower Steamers.
Oh, shit. Not a steamer? What is something steaming?
I don't know. It's probably something you put on our list, but
yay!
Yeah, I have to check that out. Gotta go check our mailbox. Let's see, Alicia writes in, hey y'all, what's up? I ain't want nothing. And we were just on Preston's podcast. That's all I meant to say. It's called Slang of Ages. You can find it everywhere you get podcasts. And we just talked about our top five albums of all time, me and Karen both.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was fun.
Got to, you know, break down what we loved about them and all that stuff. So I hope y'all enjoy it. Alicia says, hey y'all, what's up? I ain't want nothing. I was just stopping by to see what y'all was doing, especially since y'all just took some well-deserved time off. Anyway, pulls purse up on the arm, steps halfway out the door. Since y'all were off, I decided to listen to an old episode and I randomly picked 1497. This was a Game of Thrones recap episode and Nick Jew was the guest. Y'all started the episode with fucking with black people so the whites that came to listen could get a dose of blackness. Walking to my car and opening the door, the article you talked about focused on how white doctors and staff in DC hospitals were doing shit that could racism us into a plague. Getting in the car, but leaving one leg out. They were underreporting numbers, discharging people early from the ER, basically lying about drug test results in black and brown patients. All of this information was accidentally uncovered when studies were done to test the likeliness of biological warfare threats. Closing the car door, but rolling the window down. These medical professionals were so racist that they were basically leaving blind spots for bioterrorism. They did the same kind of stuff with COVID. Them white people ain't a thing. Turning on the car, fumbling with my seatbelt. Y'all also talked about the article where John Singleton defended R. Kelly by saying he just had a lot of girlfriends. Ciao. Finally clicking the seatbelt, putting my car in drive, but keeping my foot on the brake. The funny thing about hearing this was today's episode of The Daily touched on Kells getting sentenced to 30 years for racketeering and charges related to having sex with underage girls. Crazy how that works, huh? I mean, who would have thought? All Robert did was have a lot of girlfriends, right? Mess. Anyways, like I was saying, slowly drive away, still talking out the window. I ain't want nothing. I was just checking in to see how y'all was doing. Bye.
Aww. Bye, baby.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you. That was fun.
And then she also wrote in about the Juneteenth ice cream. Hey y'all, just wanted to let y'all know I got some of that Juneteenth ice cream.
Oh, you did?
I let some episodes of Roy's job fair pile up, so I'd always have something good to listen to on my commute home. Today I listened to the episode where Roy talks about how Twitter made him the official unofficial official snacktivist of social media. This was also the Pride Week episode, so naturally Walmart's Pride ice cream came up. They kept talking about it, so I decided I would swing by my local neighborhood Walmart to pick some up. Well, when I got to the ice cream case, I noticed they had a few pints of Juneteenth ice cream. I snatched it up and tossed it along with the Pride ice cream in my basket. When I went to go pay in the checkout line, the ice cream created to commemorate the emancipation of slaves rung up as not for sale. When I scanned it, the associate came over to help. This girl tried to take my ice cream. See, she as an employee of the man tried to symbolically keep my people in bondage.
Mm-mm.
She tried to give me the excuse of, I'm not sure why it's saying not for sale. It must be on recall. Girl, we all know what Twitter got this pull, that Twitter got this pull
from
the shelves.
Girl, you better ring, you better man, you better put this price in there and keep it trucking.
She tried to play me, and as an agent of the establishment, this coon tried to dismiss the fact a black woman like myself was trying to celebrate black freedom. Her solution was that I only buy the white chocolate flavored Pride ice cream and leave the Juneteenth ice cream. I think not, sis.
Nope, I went going for it. You better manually make up a price and put it in there.
Anyway, after she walked out, I channeled ancestor Harriet Tubman and went back to our hidden amongst the Star Crunch ice creams. I scanned a Pride ice cream twice so that they couldn't say I was stealing, because they not finna toss me in the privatized prison industrial system.
Come on.
On some trumped up charges. As I drove off, I shouted to freedom. Knowing that I had gotten around the white man's oppression.
Come on, got around that system.
Mm-hmm. Good luck to you. I don't blame you, okay? We all know.
You think Harriet Tubman was walking around with a fucking nice shiny fucking dress on with a fucking crown on her head when she was taking slaves? Freedom!
Knowing that I had gotten around the man's oppression and used our own technology against him. Stay black, y'all. You stay black, Alicia. Thank mm-hmm. you for the email.
Thank you.
Let's see. This one is from Celeste. Hi, Rod and Karen. I hope you had a good week off trying to start this letter with something common. Have you tried any new or interesting snacks or products or recipes that you have that have brought you both joy? I love the pictures you post of things you have made. I haven't tried it yet, but I bought some Magic City wings from Gold Belly, which I plan to warm up at some point.
Yeah, I can't wait to try those.
Lemon pepper, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Gotta get that lemon pepper.
When you open the box, it glitter pour out on you. I can't wait.
One of the things I have found common most of the time is either cooking shows or looking at cookbooks or recipes online. The other is gardening. Okay, woo, what a fucking week. I've been so enraged by all the nonsense this SCOTUS court has brought forth this session. I have had a hard time communicating to others how dire and serious it is. People, if they do engage, want some magic wand from Biden Harris to wave to fix it, mm-hmm. which ironically is why even some liberals and black and brown people like 45. He told them the lies they want to hear even when they know that it's a lie.
Right.
Somehow they paradoxically make him more honest. Make it make sense. Yeah, I was saying this on Three Guys On, man. The biggest thing we lost from the Trump administration, in my opinion, is there are people who are very politically active. They pay attention. They keep their nose down to the, they keep their ear to the, you know, to the street. They always know. Mm-hmm. But because of that, the last 4 years of him lying and consistently, constantly gaslighting the country, and I don't use that term lightly. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that's what he did.
Yes, he did.
There's a lot of them that don't realize Trump didn't get much accomplished. Mm-mm. And I don't mean that to downplay what he did or something. I think he still was the most dangerous president of my lifetime and the worst one. But there's a lot of stuff he just would say.
Yes.
And then it wouldn't happen.
Mm-mm.
Like, he would say shit and write executive orders for shit. And then either the places he would demand to do the thing would be like, we're not doing that shit.
Yeah, like, they keep it pushing.
For example, what happened is people want Joe Biden to be Democrat Trump. But you can't be Democrat Trump without being a liar, because what Trump does is swing every day as many times as possible. And when he doesn't come through, no one penalizes him for it, because they're like, he'd just be talking. But if that was Joe Biden, they would penalize him for it. He'd be the most lying president. He'd be the worst president.
Why
didn't he do the thing? If he just got up there and said, yeah, we're going to dismiss all the student loans, and then a month later it didn't happen, they'd be like, he lied. Mm-hmm. And Trump did that all the time. Did we build that wall? He banned trans people from the military. Did anyone actually get banned? Mm-mm. You know, there's a lot of stuff that he got struck down. I mean, the nigga said he won the election. He's not some dictator. He wasn't this all-powerful being that he just said something and the whole country would move to make it happen. But that is how people have treated him. And now, when we're in an existential crisis for real, everyone's looking at Joe Biden to trump this thing. Just go out there and say something, Joe.
Mm-mm.
It's like, bro, that won't work. Because we wouldn't accept it even if he tried.
I know I wouldn't.
Like just as the voters and stuff, we'd be mad that he was just saying shit,
right,
and it wasn't happening. Or he'd say something and it immediately gets struck down because there's 27 different rules to why it wouldn't work. And Trump was not good at just saying stuff and then the rules would just bend to him. He would say stuff and then he would try to break the rules and then it just wouldn't work. It just happened over and over and over and over and over again. And he still was able to get a lot of damage done. But it's so easy to damage things than it is to build things.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to take something away than to give something back or to add something.
Right.
And we don't like that hard work of adding shit. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be looking at this as we lost our rights this week. Let's get them back next week. That's ridiculous and gonna cost us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like we'd be willing to pay it. I mean, it's gonna cost us a lot of goodwill, a lot of momentum, because people are going to start looking at it as a failure if you don't get all these rights back tomorrow, when the truth is these motherfuckers fought for 50 years.
Right, it wasn't taken away overnight.
They fought for 50 years to get their goal. We want to fight for 7 days and quit. That's not how it's going to happen. I'm trying to be patient about it because it's going to take people out. I'm not saying I'm some type of fucking genius, but I'm routinely ahead of where the metronome is in times, you know? And this is one of those times I feel like I must be ahead, because I'm like, it's just, I have to wait on everybody to catch up and realize we don't have a choice but to try to vote our way out of this.
Right.
I gotta watch them talk about, throw a fit and say, well, just do this, just fix it, Joe. I gotta watch them do all this shit so they can eventually arrive at the place where I'm at, which is, unless we're going to give more power to people to the people that we think would do a better job, we're going to continue to hit this robot.
Right. So we can't be, if it's something where somewhere it's like, hey, you want something, I might give you 85% of what you asked for, 95% of what you asked for. Motherfuckers be like, I can't get my 5, fuck it. And you're like, but you actually got 80 to 95% mm-hmm. of what you asked for. You're willing to say fuck it because of 5.
Well, and also in this case, it's just not about Joe Biden.
Mm-mm.
Nobody told y'all voting for Joe Biden was gonna stop the Supreme Court from being the Supreme Court.
Nope.
Nobody told y'all that. Nobody told y'all that it was gonna stop Republicans from being Republican. Nobody said that. We were like, the country will be better and we can't afford more Republicans. That's it. He's done a good job with what he's been given, but people think he can just like talk his way out of this or say something and then all the white people will understand it. It's like, I don't think y'all understand white people. They are picking these things on purpose.
Yes, they are.
They're not misinformed, and you know, a lot of them wanted this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying all white people, but if you look at the intersection of people that are celebrating this motherfucking, these Supreme Court things, it's a lot of white folks.
Yes, sir.
I looked at some legal experts to soberly give the lay of the land. Sherilyn Ifill for what is going on. And what she has been saying is really dire. Basically, they are accomplishing legally what January 6th was trying to do. Yep. And even more insidious, because people are so either unintentionally or willfully uninformed, they are easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
The bots are back, so Russia must be in the mix, aided by simplistic minds, some of which are pretty sure are getting paid to cause chaos and confusion. See Killer Mike, Charlamagne, Uncle Luke, Nina Turner, even AOC. I don't know if that's true that they're getting paid or not.
I don't know.
I know that's an allegation, but I feel y'all, man. I see these people saying stuff that I find to be sometimes unhelpful. Sometimes I think they hit the nail on the head. Not Killer Mike and Charlamagne, but like AOC, basically. But I get it. Like, at this point, either you're willfully missing the point and you don't want to get in lockstep, and you don't want to or you're an agent of chaos. Which I never realized AOC and Agent of Chaos, I wonder if that's already a thing. But either way, like, it's so not the time. And it's also, it's this thing where, like, they can promote, because they don't have the power and they don't have the responsibility, they can promote things that would be reckless for Biden to do, as if it's not a big deal.
Right.
Because they know either A, he won't do it and it'll make them look better. Like, I had to answer the whole time and he just wouldn't do it.
Right.
Or B, if he does it and it backfires, they go, well, yeah, he shouldn't have did that.
Correct. Because there's no responsibility.
Like, my main one I keep coming back to, and I hope people remember this. A few months ago, he passed that, or maybe it was last year even, he did the rent moratorium, executive
mm-hmm.
order.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that the Congress went and did a protest, sat on the steps of the Capitol or whatever, and said, well, you know, we're protesting until the president writes an executive order and extending the rent moratorium.
Right. And Joe Biden was like, do a bill, I'll sign it.
Right. They couldn't build consensus. This is a shortcut for them shifting the blame from themselves for not being able to build consensus, not being able to work to get 60 votes. They were like, we'll just have Joe Biden write an executive order. And they did what the Supreme Court did, basically what they do to executive orders like that. They shot it down. You can't just say, and people go, well, the rules don't matter. Yes, they apparently they do, and they mattered for Trump too. The things he wanted to accomplish were within the rules. The things that he tried to do outside the rules, he failed at. You know, like stealing the election, he failed at stealing the election because the rules did protect us. This thing where people just speak in these platitudes and these broad sweeping statements like, that's the problem with the Democrats, always playing by the rules. I'm like, that's what saved the fucking country. Honestly, that's what saved you from 4 years of Trump were the fucking rules. The gentleman agreements that everyone's like, no, he wasn't no gentleman. it didn't fucking matter because enough people were like, dawg, we're not doing this.
Yeah, we're not breaking the law.
So the rules are there for a reason. It's just whether or not you want to admit or work within and around them and to promote things that actually will work, as opposed to just telling people shortcuts like Joe Biden can go out here and just cancel all student debt, knowing that you're going to set those people up to where if he passes an executive order like that in a few months when it gets pulled back and y'all niggas owe back taxes and shit on it, you're going to be mad.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, and I put some of the progressive leaders in there too. How in 2022, especially the ones who have shown themselves to be informed and smart on things, AOC, purposely and loudly being wrong and getting people hyped on what legally can't be done. Yeah. That Hyde Amendment thing is real. I've seen smart people basically just like act like it's not a big deal. I don't know what to say, man. I really don't know what to say. Like, I hope they're right.
So
the Hyde Amendment basically means you can't use federal money to anything that goes towards abortion. It's been something that's been a deal since 3 years, I think, after Roe v. Wade. And so it's like basically what people are saying as a solution to the Supreme Court's ruling is Joe Biden writes an executive order or something. Of course, because Congress and the Senate can't do it, pass nothing.
Right, so they can vote that shit down.
House of Representatives and the Senate can't do it, but so they want him to pass it, write an executive order that basically says, "Hey, you can go on federal land, build abortion clinic, build, you know, health clinics, reproductive health clinics, have abortions there." And then that'll make it legal in the United States and not just up to the states. So every state could have one of these places. So you got the construction of these things that would have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Hyde Amendment, meaning you're not supposed to spend money there. It will get challenged in the Supreme Court.
Of course.
It will probably be struck down because of the Hyde Amendment.
Yes.
And then also there's the jurisdiction thing. So I go somewhere, I'm a person with a vagina, I get pregnant, I go to have an abortion. I'm in the state of, I don't know, Tennessee or something. So what happens when I step off of the federal land back into Tennessee?
Come on.
Cause Tennessee has made it illegal.
Yes, sir.
I've committed a crime. It's not like if I'm in Tennessee and according to their laws, I don't agree with these, but obviously according to their laws, they consider I committed murder and I come back to Tennessee and be like, yeah, but that murder was on federal land. They're not going to be like, oh, okay, no big deal. So it's just a lot of stuff that it's like theoretical. It's stuff that's on paper sounds good, but it isn't actually creating the solutions that would work. It's just solutions that sound good on Twitter and things you can knock Joe Biden for not doing and be like, it's his fault, as opposed to being like, dog, we have a lot of work to build build consensus and structure so that we can pass these things again. Roe v. Wade was always on shaky ground. Mm-hmm. Always. And mm-hmm. just the fact that people took it for granted in 2016, like while Hillary Clinton was telling you, hey, this shit is very important. It's all a way to not say it's on us. It's on everyone else.
Yep.
So, hold on a second. All right. Sorry for those not in real time. They didn't get to hear the dulcet tones of Karen in the chat room. And I imagine on YouTube, y'all won't hear that either because I'm going to have to cut the music out.
You know, they show on, you have to cut that out.
But yeah, man, that's why you gotta be live on the crowdcast. Let's see, so back to this email from Celeste. And the Franken media, man, I guess fucking media, man, they want 45 and their supporters of fascism with more power. It's so obvious. I follow the VP and her staff on social media, and she has done several actions, many of which do something Twitter have said. One, convening Democratic attorney generals for states to coordinate response and prepare for some of the Republican legislation to prosecute people who cross state lines. Mm-hmm. Saw that. Saw the pledge. I forget how many it was. I want to say 21 Democratic state's attorney general were like, we're not going to prosecute people for this. If you want to call state lines, come into our state to have an abortion operation done, we will not assist the other states. We won't track, like, we're not gonna track this data for them or any of this shit.
Right.
These are, this is something to do something shit. And people that, and the thing that bothers me is, like, there's never an applause break for the Democrats. And the reason that I know what the people that are very negative will say, like, well, why shouldn't they? This is their job. The reason that we need it is because motivation is the thing that keeps people going.
Yes.
And I don't just mean this for them as politicians. I'm talking about voters. If you are able to suggest something, see them do it, and you go, that's a good job, that's not a crime. Our side doesn't have to be the negative side all the time. Mm-mm. We don't need to always be the side that's like demotivating folks from voting and shit, because these victories only happen from a bunch of steps, and we're never gonna be able to fight back if the whole time we're like, well, that's just what you're supposed to do. Like, that fucking attitude is, I just don't understand how people can't see it. You gotta look at the big picture. You have to be like, yes, let's go. Let's fucking go. Like, you have to have that attitude. And as long as we're too cool for school, we're losing. And we will continue to lose. Two, meeting with the FDA to expand access to Plan B and other medication forms of abortion and codified federally. They can be shipped to states even when the state laws say they can't. Three, meeting with abortion providers to ask them what they need. Four, meeting with activists and advocacy groups. Basically, the work. But Elizabeth Warren and AOC just say some illegal nonsense in front of a camera. Everyone goes, ooh, ah, look how they fight. Fuck out of here.
It's about performatives. Like, I don't care about performance. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's maybe a generational thing, and I keep falling back on me being old and black. But nigga, when people say do something, you do something. You, everybody holler at everybody to do something, but nobody ever looks at the voting populace and say, nigga, you do something, voter. You do something. And for the people that actually voted, turn around to the other niggas that was like, don't vote, and be like, you do something. I voted. I'm tired of you consistently causing me to do more work, and we're constantly in a put out the fire, put out the, oh my God, we're about to drown, put out the fire. You know, Stacey Abrams and them had to come up with some fucking last ditch effort to fucking win Georgia. We shouldn't be here.
Yep, that was at the runoff too. I'm livid that even now people don't want to see clear eye when we are so, so we can prepare to do the work that is coming. All that, I'm not my ancestor shit. Yeah, y'all aren't, cause y'all too weak-willed, and why need to be out to be about the work, not just to talk shit.
Right.
But I do know people that are going to have to get their big girl, big boy, non-binary panties on and dig in because of the inaction of 2016. We have been set back at least 100 years of progress. And with that, with what they want to do with the cases they're taking up next session, they want an American version of apartheid 2.0, Jim, Jane Crow, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, they're talking about taking, one of the things I believe they're going to be hearing soon is affirmative action on college campuses. These are huge implications, man.
Yep, and colleges are already expensive as hell too, and this is going to be a reason to make it all white, and I'm going to say this. People have the choice right now to go to any university they want to. Did they get accepted to? Yeah, if you get accepted to the university, you have the right to go there regardless of the history of it. And eventually, that's not going to be the case. Eventually, you're going to have, and a lot of people shit on them, even black people, HBCUs. Eventually, people are going to have to rely on HBCUs like fucking never before. People that fucking turned their nose up and say, this is a second class education. Niggas that was like, I would never. Them niggas, eventually, that's going to be the only way to get educated.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't come to pass, to be honest, because that's not the kind of person I want going to an HBCU, if I'm being real. If you look down your nose at it, you think, these universities are lesser than, don't come your ass on campus.
Right.
And just because you don't have a choice, you know, maybe something good will come and you'll realize you've been full of shit your whole life. But
correct,
like, I hope we don't get an influx of, you know, motherfuckers that's just gonna hate on the experience the whole time because they ain't have no other choice. But the main part about the whole affirmative action thing is it'll start with the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to end there. Mm-hmm. Like, Clarence Thomas's decision was the Roe v. Wade joint was basically open invitation to conservatives to continue to challenge other legislation so that we will pull this country back to the brink. Oh, I bet you'll open up the feedback show with your thoughts before you get to the emails, but I just had to write in. Y'all take care. Honestly, we didn't, and thanks for the email, because this is the kind of thing I was just going to say for, you know, next week when we start back regular shows. We'll probably have to do, like, a Supreme Court roundup type thing, but I think people were writing in because even without our show, they know these are the kind of things we talk about, and some of the stuff we predicted, even, and it was a hard week for a lot of people. We got a comment on Podbean where someone had just replied, "Amen, preacher, you guys on our feedback episode from last week." Deshaun writes in, "I saw this clip about keeping Arby's in business and thought y'all would laugh, and it's a TikTok clip. Let me see if I can put it on screen. We can watch it together as a family.
You out here keeping Arby's in business, bro? You out here keeping Arby's in business, bro?
That's the whole clip.
Surprise. Oh no.
That's not Ari the Mermaid on TikTok that said that. That's hilarious. Let's see. We already mentioned we were on Preston's podcast, Slang of Ages. Check out that.
Mm-hmm.
John Rice said, "Good morning, Rod and Karen. I just wanted to add to your rant about white progressives. I remember 2016 quite vividly too. Hillary, Obama, Pelosi, Harry Reid, Biden, etc. all warned us quite explicitly that abortion, voting rights, gerrymandering, LGBTQ rights, gun control, immigration, climate, contraception, etc. were all on the line due to the control of the Supreme Court. White progressives, TM, didn't care." Nope. The thing that bothers me the most of all is to see how unrepentant they are about it.
Yes.
Like, I would love, like, I can't consider you a good person that sat by 2016, did nothing, and don't at least go, "Maybe I did the wrong thing." You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole, like, "I'm resolute. This is the right." Okay, so then be resolute when I tell you, suck my dick. When I don't like you and don't want to fucking talk to you, be as resolute, because that's what else was on the line in 2016. Mm-hmm. And if my disdain means nothing to you, then what you bitching about all the time? You know what I mean? Like,
if you don't care,
like, don't care all the time then.
Right.
Because that's the thing. Someone, Celeste brought it up, and I don't know if it's toxic or not. It's just something I think about a lot. But I'm not with this weak ass shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not with the "I want to be the bully and the victim at the same time" mentality. If we're in a fight, then we should be fighting. But if not, then just shut the fuck up and be the victim that you claim to be. But you can't be like, "Do what I say or else." And then when people go, "You gonna have to fight me for this. I'm not giving you shit. Wow, this is so unfair." It's like, nigga, it's a fight. You know, like, this is a perfect example. So many people, I see this happen. This is why I say we live in a bubble. Because I'm about to say something that y'all have seen before, everyone's probably seen online before, and it may even sound like it makes sense to you online. I don't know. Maybe y'all also look at it like me. But it almost sounds like it makes sense, which is this. The Democratic leadership is old. They not bold enough. They need to step down and give progressive people a chance. Let them be the leaders of the party. Now, it's and I hear people say this, what activists do. This activist is getting old. You need to step down and let somebody else do it. Okay. That sounds almost like it makes sense. Come take it.
Right, bitch, come take it. Take it out my hands.
I thought you were a badass. How you gonna, okay, so let's say all the Democratic leadership stepped down. They give every position to a progressive. Is that how you gonna deal with the conservatives? You gonna ask them to, hey guys, hey, can you also step down the way that these people step down? We would like your power too. No one's gonna give you power. And honestly, if you can't take it, you can't wield it. So come take it. If you want people to bow down, then come fucking take it. You don't like Nancy Pelosi? Put every resource you have into taking her fucking seat then. Do it. And if you can't do it, then admit you don't know everything. You ain't got it like that yet. And that's fine too. But this, like, why y'all won't move out our way? Because we're the people that fight the other people. They don't move out our way, and we gotta put people up there that don't move out the way. That's not how this shit is gonna work.
Nope, that's
it's not. Like when someone doesn't like some shit on the podcast, and I'm like, well then go start a better podcast.
Right.
Be better than us. If you don't like what we do with our platform, it's too big. Well, we earned every motherfucking listener. Every click, every download is ours. You can't just have it.
Mm-mm.
You can't just come on here and be like, guys, the RSS feed is going to be these other people's podcasts now. No one is going to do that with the things they work for and earn. So come take it. You say you smarter. You say you better. You say you fight harder. You say when they go low, we go lower. Then do it. I see you primarying these people. Why are you losing? You say it's so fucking easy to do what they do. Then show me. And then you'll get respect, because I'll be like, you know what? They fucking won that seat. We told them, guys, I don't know you can do a defund the police candidate in South Carolina. And they went down there and they primaried Jamie Harrison. They fucking won with a defund the police guy. And then he beat Lindsey Graham. And you know what? I was wrong. We need to do more shit like this. That's all it would fucking take.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it's like, why can't they just step down? Why does he have to keep doing, like, stop being a bitch, man. Fucking fight. Go get it. That's what people respect.
Right. They respect results. And it's one of the things, too, a lot of these people coming in, the people that have these positions, particularly on the Democratic side, they have experienced shit, and they have seen shit, and they have been through shit. They have war wounds and shit that you have not experienced yet. They've experienced stalls. They've experienced back and forth. they've just have more experience. And people, we have a society now that discredit experience. Like, experience don't mean a motherfucking thing. Like, the knowledge and the wisdom that you have gained, you know how to game the system. You know how the system works. You know how the system operates. You know how you have to negotiate. You know how you have to do these things. People act like that shit doesn't mean anything. Move, old man, old woman, whoever you are, get out the way and give it to me. And you're gonna get up there, bitch, you know what? And you're gonna make rookie mistakes. Why? Because you've never been in the position. You've never had that power. And a lot of times when something is given like that and you don't understand how it works, you end up fucking it up and making it worse.
Yeah, listen, man. The thing that has happened, especially on our side, and I hate to say this shit in this way because it sounds like one of their talking points, but there's some validity to this shit,
mm-hmm.
which is there's great power on our side in victimhood, right? Like, there's a power in being like, I was wronged. And if people have empathy, they will go, how can we help make you whole? That is good. It's a good impulse in people. I have it. A lot of us have it. The problem is, when you get into this fight, this other side don't have empathy.
Mm-mm.
And they don't respect that.
Nope.
So you're not gonna be able to get out here and complain your way into power. The reason that you think you can do it with Democrats, because Democrats are the closest to an empathetic side. But at the end of the day, if you're not fighting to take it from them, then you're just complaining.
Yes.
And if your number one tactic of complaining and not getting your way is, I'll just go home, I don't believe you can gain the things you say you can gain when you have power.
You don't want
because
it bad enough.
I can't afford to get behind a person that goes home. I remember 2 years ago, when it was time to run for office again, AOC was talking about how she might not do it. And I thought to myself, like, I get it. You're an attractive woman, very popular. You could go be a TV person. You could do a bunch of stuff. But if your whole thing is I'm fighting for your people, for the people in my district, for higher office, to help America, I don't want a person that's like, I might go do some other shit as the person I want to put on my chest, dog. That don't motivate me. I need a person that's like, I'm here till the fucking job is done. Low key, being an 80-year-old motherfucker that's like, I'm fighting in this game, is way more of a mirroring my belief system than a young person being like, I'm fighting or I'm gonna quit. Like, nigga, what? This is never going to be over. Do you understand?
Right.
Every single person that can hear my voice, we are going to die fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're gonna just get killed.
Yes.
There's not gonna be this day where, like, Republicans and conservatives chill the fuck out. We're gonna be fighting. Even when we win, we're gonna be fighting. This was never a one-time thing. I really don't know why. I don't know, man. I don't get how people can't see it that way. And I, like I said, maybe it's a toxic thing, but maybe you need a little toxicity sometimes, man. Maybe you need to be a little dirty and be like, I ain't no hoe, I ain't no bitch, I ain't no punk, I ain't no whatever it is that y'all, you know, whatever it is, your word that you're not supposed to say, because they're all fucked up words, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
You need some of that sometimes, man, because that's the only way to win, yeah, dog. Y'all don't like me. I hear you. You're booing. I came here to do a job. I don't need to be your friend. I don't need to be the most popular. Y'all gonna fucking do what the fuck we say.
Yes, and it's also, I think, for a particularly in the age of a lot of politics was not online. And you have a lot of people, a lot of politicians now that are kind of raised in the age of the internet. And the old school people are like, fuck that internet. What I'm about is goddamn results. I don't give a fuck about these people online liking me. Most of the populace is not on that bitch. Most of the populace is out living their lives, doing their thing, might have an account, check in now and then. The bulk, the internet is a lie on certain things, y'all. It's a motherfucking lie. It will make you think that the whole goddamn world is on the internet. It is not. It is a over representation of a small percentage of people. Not that these people aren't real. Mm-hmm. Not that these people don't have influence. Not that these people aren't doing things. It is a simple size.
It's a very simple question. Why y'all not winning then? If this is such an easy fucking layup, everybody just don't get, why the fuck aren't you winning? Why aren't your policies and your movements making inroads with real voters? Not just tags and bots and fucking, you know, people that's gonna be on your social media that don't even live in your district. The other day, this dude was arguing on Twitter, like, you know, I tweeted something and then I saw, I wasn't talking to these people, but you could see everyone going back and forth from my mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think they just did a new feature where you're gonna tag that shit. But, anyway, these people were going back and forth and, you know, I saw it like a day later or something and was like, okay, but what about this or whatever? And this person's like, yeah, but AOC should do this, that, and the other, and da da da. And AOC can do this, and AOC, this is why she should be the one running the party. And I clicked on their profile a few tweets in. This nigga was he lives in Brazil. He not American. He don't even vote here or go here. That's my point. Online, it can feel like, wow, the people really want her. In real life, this nigga can't vote here.
Right.
I don't even need to be talking to him.
No.
And guess what I did? Stop talking to him. You have no say. There's nothing you can do. You could just be online upset. Why would I let that make me upset? Have a good day, you powerless son of a bitch. That's what the fuck the real problem is. So, like I said, I need people that's gonna fight for the power, because I'll definitely line up right behind every progressive. Just go win the fucking offices.
Stop complaining
when you lose. Like, it's rigged. Nigga, go win them goddamn votes. Go out there and talk to them people in black ass South Carolina. Talk to them on the ground for real, for real. Don't just, Jim Clyburn, this isn't, that nigga, Jim Clyburn's never gonna give up. Go fucking rest the shit from his hands. You claim he's old. He don't know nothing, but me, or maybe stop and see what he did and see the work they put in and right? go, damn, that's actually 40, 50, 60 years of leg work on the ground in his community to get that power. I need to put that in and stop just doing the hashtags and t-shirts.
Right, because the thing is, a lot of older people lay a blueprint down for people to follow, and people go, fuck you and fuck your blueprint. I know better. Cool, you got it. And my thing is results. I want motherfucking results. And like you said, I don't know nobody that's gonna be like, here, you can have it. Bitch, if you want my seat, rally, do what you got to do, and take that motherfucker from me.
In 2008, people were saying the reason Obama won was because his ground game and his social media game. Right? By 2012, 2016, people were telling me, this is a dumb man that doesn't know shit, that doesn't know what he's talking about. We shouldn't listen to him. Okay. This motherfucker was the one telling y'all, like, hey, that defund shit not gonna go like y'all want. Wow, this coon ass, da da da. Okay. Well, what about him being right? When are you gonna have that moment of like, well, what should we say?
Should we rephrase this?
Cause that's what you do with wisdom. You don't just throw it away. Like, fuck this nigga. Okay. Well, we lost. Now what are we gonna do? You know what I mean? Like, there's consequences to these wrong decisions. Anyway, I mean, get into this whole thing, but just, I don't get that whole whiny. I feel like the whitest thing in the game right now is the doing our way or we're gonna go home. That feels like there's nothing whiter than that. And when I hear anyone talking that way, I just immediately disrespect them.
Yeah, and I think for me, it makes me angry, because I was like, well, bitch, what you gonna threaten me with? Nothing. You were doing nothing.
Yeah, it's a tantrum, essentially.
You weren't doing shit before.
And it's not just a tantrum, it's a tantrum to fly the plane. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a tantrum. People have tantrums all the time. Mm-hmm. We all get upset. You can listen to this podcast long enough. Right. We've probably been upset this episode. Mm-hmm. But there's a tantrum to fly the plane. It's different when you like, I don't like what's happening. Okay. I want to fly the plane. Let me fly the plane. Like, no, you can't. What?
So you can kill everybody?
You can't just fly the fucking plane. If you don't let me fly the plane, I'm going to open the door and jump out right now. And you're like, that'll just make the plane crash. I don't care. Why do you think I'm supposed to look at you like you're a good person and you better than me or you got some type of high moral ground? No, we gonna beat your ass and strap you to your seat and you just gonna be in this motherfucking plane with us.
Right, man.
That's what's gonna happen. So it's just, that's what's wild about this shit. Anyway. They had no interest talking about the importance of protecting abortion rights then, and even claimed it was blackmail to bring them up. They encouraged people to write in Bernie, vote for Jill Stein, or not vote at all. Mm-hmm. In 2018, after we miraculously took the House back in a blue wave election, Republicans were going all in on voter suppression and passing horrible abortion restrictions. White progressives only wanted to talk about Medicare for all.
Right.
In 2019, 2020, during the Dem primary, they still didn't want to talk about strong protections for abortion, even though red states were already passing all kinds of forced birth policies, and Brett Kavanaugh had moved even further to the right, and Roe was likely already on the court's crosshairs. Mm-hmm. Candidate Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Kristen Gillibrand, and Amy Klobuchar all went out of their way to keep abortion rights at the top of the list of Dem party priorities. And in Kamala's case, even it was black women's maternal health too was at the top of her priorities. And of course they were like, she's a cop, don't vote for her, dos verdania, because Russia sent me to say this.
I remember that. Like I said, and those are the things that kind of make you angry, because at no period of time is anybody going to come out and apologize right. to that woman
or say I was duped and I fell for that Russian propaganda. Nope, they just this is what I heard. But white progressives had no interest and even mocked them for focusing too much on identity politics. I remember that. Now it was the Green Deal that was all that mattered. Yeah, I remember listening to, and this is not a knock on him, I actually am a fan of his podcast, which he doesn't do anymore. But Neil Brennan, I remember listening to him and his, I want to say her name was Bianca, talk on their show, How Neil Feel. And there was after the primaries, and it was, I want to say, they were saying something about how it was like, it's just too much identity politics, too much identity politics, and it's going to cost them the election. And Biden won the shit, wrote identity politics to a win, the most votes in history. I still haven't heard her like, oh shit, my bad. But in all fairness, he stopped doing the show, and it's just their opinion. But my point being, that's representative of a large swath of white liberal type dudes, where it's like, everything y'all say about abortion, about race, about gender, about sexual orientation, everything y'all say about immigration are identity politics. The only politics that matter are white man politics, which never have identity attached to them. Those are just regular politics. The rest of y'all, it's identity. We need to just talk about the economy, as if an abortion is or having a child is an economic decision,
right?
As if racism doesn't have economic impact, such as that jobs, college opportunities, things of this nature. As if gender discrimination has no impact on the economic stuff for women, as if sexual orientation and sex and like LGBTQ issues have no impact on the economic freedoms of people under those marginalized identities. These shits fucking are the economy. But according to Bernie, we needed to just get wink wink hard white working middle class voters in the room and let them drive everything. And meanwhile, those voters are never going to come out. They're never going to vote in a plurality for Democrats. Not since the fucking the VRA passed in the first place. So we shouldn't even be chasing those people. And low key, Biden was right to make that calculation. Like, yeah, we're not going to do the, we need to get the white working class back. We're not going to do that. I might stumble on it. I might not be as woke as you would like me to be, but I'm gonna definitely get up here and talk about Black Lives Matter, and I'm gonna get up here and talk about immigration. I'm gonna get up here and talk about women and gender equality. Maybe I ain't got the best track record on. Maybe I'm not perfect, but the thing is, I'm better than Trump. I'm gonna be better than Trump, and that's the promise I'm gonna give you. And here are the issues I have, and I'm gonna see them as economic issues and not frame them as identity issues that I can't be bothered with. In 2020, when it came down to get out the vote and try to win the presidency and give Biden enough dim senators to codify a role at the federal level, they still didn't want to talk about abortion rights. Not to mention, like, they also tried to take credit for 2020, and I'm not giving you shit. Cause you didn't do it. You didn't organize. I watched the leaders of the progressives up to the last minute be like, I don't really fuck with Biden. Ugh. It's like eating a shit sandwich and all this stuff. Like, and now you want me to pretend like y'all were the enthusiastic wave that won that shit? No, that was Democrats. That was people that actually were motivated to be like, nah. And then the even worst of all, a lot of those people were fucking swing voters. And that disgusts me, because what that really means is your ass still sat it out. And it took people going, I'm gonna vote for a Republican in my state, but I'm gonna vote for Joe Biden nationally for president, which happened.
Yes, it did.
Which happened in several fucking states that went blue president, red governor, House, Senate, whatever. That's terrible, yo.
Yes, it is.
That really means that your ass didn't do shit. You sat there, and then you want the credit? Prove it. The young vote was down. It wasn't up. What are y'all talking about? Whatever this wave of very progressive people that's saving the country supposedly came from, no. Last minute terse endorsements from these motherfuckers, and got the nerve to be like, we the one say that. You didn't do shit. Anyway, now here we are. The Supreme Court overturned Roe, just like we warned them. And what is their reaction? Why didn't the Democrats do something?
Right.
They had the audacity to complain now after never wanting to lift a finger to protect abortion rights when we actually had a chance in 2016. That is, if you can get them to stop talking about student loans, Merrick Garland, long enough to even have a discussion.
Right. Everything but the shit that we need to be talking about.
The one thing I will say about 2016, which you just made me think of just now, even if Hillary would have won, you know, we would have strapped her with a Congress and Senate that were probably not going to be blue.
Oh, right.
We weren't going to give her a 60-seat majority. So even in that scenario, you never get to codify Roe because you need 60 votes. So even if, like, the only thing we would have got, which would I would have been fine with, she would get to pick them Supreme Court justices, which we'd be better off just from that. That's enough. You really don't need 30 million reasons to vote for that woman. That was enough. We just needed them Supreme Court justices. We knew a Supreme Court justice seat was on the line, and we still didn't do it. you still were too good for it.
Mm-hmm. What about her emails and the sexism and all the other shit?
We not the same.
Yeah, and you know, and it's also one of the things too, to where a lot of people, and I wouldn't blame Hillary Clinton for being mad at the country forever, how sexism and how the shit her husband did, and how super predators, when she couldn't even fucking vote on the issue, how all that shit mattered when she was basically like, y'all do know what's coming down is really, really fucked up, and you know what y'all do now? Y'all play clips of her saying the shit versus goddamn voting for her, and that's the shit that actually mattered.
That's why I basically ignore the Bernie wing of the white progressives. They're always missing the forest for the trees. The forest being long-term court control of the courts, protection of crucial rights, and the trees being whatever pet policy they can use to bash Dems today. Fuck them. Like you, I will never forget that bullshit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you know what? I was listening to something talk about this week. Oh, I might think I was listening to Ezra Klein, and he was doing an interview where he was talking about the Supreme Court. And there was this guy who was basically saying, like, you know, the way we do courts in America is bullshit. We need to change it, blah, blah, blah. Now, I think this is before this recent spate of judgments. And I'm like, I'm with it. I feel you. A lot of people I know would agree with you. But there's never this point where we accept, but this is what we got for now.
Yes.
So in the way that it is set up now, what are we going to do to win?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have the
other after that,
we don't have the option of losing. The way it's set up now, we can't just give motherfuckers 4 years of control and be like, it'll be fine when we get it back. But that's how a lot of people treat it. On a lighter note, I love when you and Karen go into 80s rap mode. It's always hilarious. Cheers, John. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
And the last one is from somebody that don't want their name to be named.
Shh.
Sorry for the long letter in advance. I've been stewing in some information for a while, and I wasn't going to worry about sending it until you mentioned Stacey Abrams and idiots going against her and the feedback. So someone I know in real life over a decade has worked hard on his social media presence, on his stance of being third party / Bernie Sanders, abolish the police, blah blah. Well, over the time, he's gotten quiet about Bernie Sanders and is an attack dog on VP Harris and the president. He was extra quiet during 45 because he knew it didn't matter and he wouldn't get any traction,
right?
Platforms. He went full in attacking pretty much all Democrats. Most recently, he did the following picture, and it says, I firmly believe that Barack Obama, one of the single most dangerous political figures of our time, and his presence set us back at least two generations. And I think Stacey Abrams is setting herself up to pick up the baton where he left off. Yeah, that's a wild sentiment. They think if he didn't come, we wouldn't have gotten Trump. Obama didn't do anything, blah, blah. Someone asked him, what policies of politicians do you actually support? And he said, no one and nothing. Oh God, one of these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. He's an example of the people that we're talking about.
And gonna get a bunch of, and I'm looking at this post, you got a bunch, 200 and something likes, 163 comments, a bunch of shares. That's why. That's the real thing that he's after, or this person's after, is that.
Yeah, because that's currency.
That's the currency for this person. Everyone's siphoning off for their own shit, man. They don't give a fuck about this country. They don't give a fuck mm-hmm. about the people in it. They don't give a fuck about anyone but themselves. And then they try to set it up as some higher moral stance. Right. All I'm saying is, if you don't give a fuck about anybody else, just say that.
Yes.
And I'm cool. I don't.
So we can stop the bullshit.
But you know I wouldn't interact with you. You know you yes. wouldn't get to like dunk on me. You know I wouldn't mm-hmm. click on nothing. So instead you set up your not giving a fuck, your nihilism, as like some sort of like moral high ground, as some mm-hmm. sort of charitable attribute to you. Like, look how much I don't give a fuck. It's cause I'm better than you. It's like, nigga, mm-hmm. you just don't care. He is the exact definition of a person that truly doesn't care about what people about the people and wants everything to burn. But I guarantee you this person will put themselves up as, I care about the people so much, Black Lives Matter, all the hashtags, mm-hmm. all the shit. It's like, so what do you do to help that happen other than bitch about it and then be like, I will not use any tool that would help? But we're all gonna burn too. He makes good money and is able to act like this without consequences. He has the nerve to act like he's smarter than all of us for not voting and demotivating people to vote. I'm sick of this shit and people like him. People are punitive for the people that care. What a fucking statement. Thank you, Bossy, for saying this. Yes, I know it's a very gendered thing I'm saying, but hopefully y'all can grasp what I'm saying and not be offended by it. But Democrats and a lot of people like that are the mother who stayed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're the mother mm-hmm. who stayed.
So you get all the anger for the other parent, all the blame for them not being there, all the frustration is all targeted towards you. Yeah. Yes.
You better make all our dreams come true or it's your fault. And no, I don't care. No excuses for the fact that you don't have the resources, the time, you doing your best. No excuses for any of that shit. Just do it. Make it enough. It's like, what? Thank you, Karen Rod, and the Three Guys On crew for keeping up with the fight and saying everything I'm thinking and feeling. You're not talking to the void, and there are many other people like you. Love you all. Yeah, thank you for listening. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't even know what I consider it, man. I feel like somebody need to, this is our job, this is what we talk about, this is the things we say, and I don't necessarily hear a lot of people talking like this. I think so many people that, especially if you're very online like Karen and I, or especially me,
Karen's
online but she don't talk.
Mm-mm.
There's a peer pressure
mm-hmm.
to not talk the way we talk. And it's weird because we clearly represent the vast majority of people.
Yes,
but online, it becomes like this weird kind of...
It's this...
It's the opposite world.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron. The shit makes no motherfucking sense.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where even me... Conversation we had yesterday. Where I was telling Roderick about how I have things and I have thoughts. And I kind of took your cue and I leave them for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because how I feel and the way I feel about things, particularly certain things, it's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. This, I don't give a fuck about nobody's devil's advocate. What you're going to do is make me motherfucking mad and piss me off. So what I'm going to do is keep my comments for this podcast where the nuance and the tone and all that shit matters. Like, because it's one of those things where whenever you say anything online, people, and I understand, people go, well, it's online, I have the right to comment on it. Yes, you do. But I also had a right to respond to it and tell you that it's stupid, it's dumb, it's ignorant, and I don't agree. And because I don't want to fall out with people and hurt people's feelings, because I can't go there on certain topics, it's some shit I don't give a fuck about. But there are people that actually, their thing is to troll. Like, their whole thing is, I'm going to troll this, or I'm going to, you brought up the topic that I've been arguing with people about all day long, so I'm just going to ignore basically what you're saying and come in here with the arguments that I've been having with people online, disregarding everything that you said, because this is the shit I do all day long. And that's the part of social media that pisses me off and makes me mad and makes me want to cuss bitches out. So what I do is keep my comments to my goddamn self.
Yeah, I was looking at New York State's primary today, because you'll often hear people online be very upset that South Carolina, North, you know, some of these southern states went for Biden, and they blame us, and it's your fault that this happened, that da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, y'all, why'd you pick him? You should have picked the most progressive person. And then I went and looked at that shit, because I said, okay, y'all claim that y'all more liberal than us.
Mm-hmm.
Biden won New York 65%. And I don't really care when you get the vote, because it's still your chance to have your voice heard. I know people that voted for Bernie two years ago in New York, and they went and voted for Bernie, even if they were like, listen, I'm gonna end up voting for whoever the Democrat is, but this is my chance to have my voice heard. And the thing is, online, it would have been the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you looked online, he was the least appealing candidate. He was clearly, he's too old, he's senile. Mm-hmm. All the Russian propaganda, all the Bernie bro talking points were floating constantly, to the point where even I was like, I guess he can't win. Everyone's saying he can't win. I guess I'll go with Elizabeth Warren. I like her policies, blah, blah, blah. Elizabeth Warren got her ass kicked in North Carolina.
Everybody got smoked.
this man with a plurality, a mandate, beat these people. And I think when you see that, instead of shitting on it, you should be going, what is he doing? What is he saying that is making his message much more effective than the message of the people I agree with the most?
Right.
And what can we learn from that so that that doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being mad at daddy the whole time or being mad at mama for staying and trying to use her empathy against her, fucking show me what is the blueprint to win. Cause it can't just be this thing where you throw a tantrum every 4 years. It ain't working.
No, it's not. And rights still get taken away.
And Bernie is the biggest, like, he had the most following of people for the tantrum thing. So like, mm-hmm. in my opinion, for the apex of that type of, approach to winning presidency, he's the best shining example we have. And he got smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, what do we need to do differently so that we don't get smoked with the progressive ideas that we believe in? What are we gonna do differently? Cause like, that's the thing I want. I'm definitely a Democrat and I'm definitely progressive. So why the fuck are we having such a hard time with our ideas, and why are we ready to go home and quit on the country and as if we'll be fine? While we claim to believe all this shit, knowing they will put the country in peril and put ourselves in peril.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disconnect that's happening, and we keep talking about it's the Democrats' messaging. Well, why is the progressive messaging losing to the Democrat messaging that you claim is so bad?
Right.
Like, you're driving from the back seat, but nigga, you in the back seat. How you get in the back seat? Think about it. All right, y'all. We'll be back later in the week. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. Thanks for the feedback. We didn't check the mail, so no mail to open up. And we did one show and still ended up giving y'all an hour and 40 minutes. Okay, you're welcome. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.